Time I seen one used to carry money to the altar. That's very creative. By the way, that's my little buddy, Jessica. I love her dearly. I'm told that when the live stream would be on, she would say, "That man, Grandpa, he looks like a grandpa." He's referring to me. She'd take the phone and run off with it so she could watch the live stream and let the family just hang tough, you know, while she watched Grandpa and the rest of us. Wow. That was so creative. That inspired me. A new way to use your mask. Praise God. Hey, there's a couple things about these masks that I know they're kind of crazy and weird and stuff. One of the things that I don't like is they can't tell when you're smiling, but they also can't tell when I'm walking the aisles talking in tongues and worshiping at a grocery store. I just have a great old time. They don't even know it. Praise God. Nobody's kicked me out yet. "You can't do that here, son. Sorry, too late. Been doing this for a long time. Thank you for a covering. Thank you, Lord, for a covering." Let's give the Lord a mighty praise offering. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. This is all about Holy Ghost. Years ago, I heard one of our great pastors talk about a lady that had been coming to church. Her name was Judy. She wanted the baptism of the Spirit. I'm glad this is Pentecost Sunday. It is so awesome to have Brother and Sister Solomon with us. Beautiful people. Really special folks. So Judy, you know, was really, had started praying for the Holy Ghost. And she was at the grocery store, just like what I was talking about. She was at the grocery store. And she told the pastor this later on in the week. But she said, As I was reaching for potatoes, the Holy Ghost came on her. And she received the Holy Ghost. As she was reaching for potatoes, she found the bread of life. Got the Holy Ghost right there in the grocery store as she was reaching for potatoes. Praise God. You know, you've heard of the Tater family, right? Spectator, dictator, agitator. It's a Tater family. But I'm the commentator. Praise God. Amen, for Jesus, and it's so good to be here. I think we ought to hear Sister Solomon testify. Don't you? Could we receive her? Let's give her a great hand. She's a wonderful lady, loves God. What a blessing to our district.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to be here, and I'm so thankful that we're in the house of the Lord, because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm so glad that in every situation that we face, He's never left our side. I'm so thankful to be here. I love the Meadows. God bless you guys. Let's rejoice and be glad in what God is going to do in this service today.
We had these guys just a few months ago. How long has it been, you guys? Just a few months ago. We decided we want them back. This is just a little sample taste, you know. You see those guys at Sam's Club, you know, Costco. I can't hardly get away from them, you know, because there's food there flirting with me, food. There's romantic. There's something about romance with groceries. Anyhow, this is just a taste sample. It's going to get gooder and gooder. We're just breaking ourselves in. Feel free to get saved again if you want to today. If you want to get saved. One lady was testifying. She said, "I feel saveder and saveder all the time." So that's how I'm feeling. It's just so exciting to be together with you. And we had an amazing prayer meeting. I think Sister Meadows ought to just... Yeah, run up here, would you, Sister Meadows, because you led us in prayer. But this is this amazing First Lady of Faith Worship Center. Let's have her, as they say in the Deep South, testify.
That's a dangerous thing to do, to ask a woman to testify. I said something on the way to church about that person was acting like a woman. He said, "Let's not go there." But I am thrilled to be in church, to be with the Lord, and to be with you guys. It is very hard not to hug each one of you individually. So I keep going like this. And what that means is, don't let me get my hands on you. You might not live to tell the story. I love you, and thank God for church.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name. Come on, let's lift Him up right now. Lord, let Your power... Let the Holy Ghost be manifested in this house. Heal somebody. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Call us, Lord, into your presence. Call us into your power. Without further ado, our evangelist is coming. We're going to flow with him. I want him to obey the Holy Ghost. He is free here to move in the Spirit. That's not given to everybody everywhere. But we believe in the manifestation of the power of God. Hallelujah. So I want him to feel his liberty. Let's give him a hand of welcome. Love this man. Brother Saul.
Praise the Lord. I am excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We've never missed a service, really, because at my home church, even though we don't gather together for the last 2 months, my wife and I still been doing the music, and so we've been in church, but it's the first time I've been in church preaching with people here, so I'm excited. So I can get an amen today. Will, if my wife will come, she's going to play a song. I think there's enough time in the schedule for that. I can just preach shorter. God's going to do something great today. Thank you, Pastor Meadows, for allowing us to be here. It is our honor and our privilege, Sister Meadows. Just great, great men and women of God, the Meadows. And I'm just so thankful for their friendship and the relationship that we're going to keep cultivating. So I'm excited to be here with you. Just worship with us.
Yeah.
the earth. Holy Ghost comes, the breath of God enters us again. And today, being Pentecost Sunday, I think it would be fitting that everyone here today would just get a refilling of the Holy Ghost, a refilling of the breath of God in our life. Hallelujah! Breathe on me, Lord. Let me have air in my lungs. Your air, your breath. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Presence here. If you have never received the Holy Ghost before, today is your day. If you haven't spoken tongues since you were in this church last, 2.5 months ago, then it's time for you to get refilled today. Fellowship together has been eye-opening for me and been challenging for me because it's begun to show me what I'm lacking. If you are strong only because you can gather together here on Sundays and weekdays, what kind of Christians are we? And through this, I have seen some weaknesses in myself where I'm thanking God. Thank you for helping me see some of this stuff now. There is going to be healings and miracles take place today. I want us to pray. I don't have an opening scripture because I apologize if that offends anybody. But I just want to pray that God would give us revelation, that He would pour out His Spirit, and that there would be faith here today. Can we do that? Father, I thank you for everything you've done here. I thank you that I can feel your presence. But God, I'm asking now, give us revelation and understanding of what you would have for us here today. God, I pray you would pour out faith in this building, that you would increase our faith to be able to believe for great things, that we would be able to believe for big miracles. Father, I'm praying you give us this understanding today. Manifest your spirit here. Manifest your power here. In Jesus' name we pray. I give you all the glory and all the honor for what you will do. Amen. Amen. Can we just clap our hands one more time? Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now, prior to us coming here today, we drove to Florida just a couple weeks ago, and as I was driving there, I looked at my wife, and I haven't been able to lay hands on anybody, and I hadn't seen someone speaking in tongues and crying at the altar and seeing drug addicts saved and seeing all these broken being mended. And so I looked at my wife while I was driving. I think maybe she was driving, but we were talking. And as we were in the car, I told her, I said, I just feel discouraged because I feel like I haven't been ministering. I feel like I haven't really done anything. And I had preached, we've led worship, we've felt the anointing in the services that are on Facebook. We actually see someone posted on our Facebook Live. I said, if you need a miracle, I want you to just post your need. They posted their need, we prayed, and they received healing over a Facebook Live. And so we've seen this stuff, but as we were driving to Florida, that's just how I was feeling at the moment, and I told my wife. But about 2 hours later, Pastor Meadows calls me and just wants to touch base with me about coming here and that we had already planned. And so as he touched base with me, before we hung up, he said, you know, I'm feeling something in the Holy Ghost right now. He said, I need to tell you this. He said, and this is just 2 hours after I just talked to my wife. He said, God wants you to know that he's done more than what you see. Or what you think. And I was just like, thank you, Pastor Meadows, for ministering to me and hearing a voice from the Lord. And I told him, I said, you know, my wife and I were just talking about that. I just felt discouraged about this. But God, Pastor Meadows, reminded me that God is still doing things that I don't even realize he's doing. And as I begin to think about what God was speaking to me, he began to deal with me, and he said that we have gotten accustomed to being his people, that we have taken for granted how much he's intervening in our lives. Miracles are all around us, and it's time to look for them. Miracles are around us every moment of every day, and we need to be able to see them. Don't take it for granted as the people of God that miracles just happen only special times or that one miracle is above another. I want to preach to you on this thought, and it's going to be very short, but I believe God wants to do something very powerful. I want to preach to you about miracles. Miracles. So what is a miracle? The definition, if you just pull it up on Google and just type in, what is a miracle? The definition is this: an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. An extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. Now, I know what some of you wives are thinking right now when your husband comes and gives you that honey-do list and says it's all checked off, and you're thinking, that's a miracle. Or when your kids come in the living room where you're sitting and they say, Mom, Dad, we cleaned our room. And you go in there and you look and it's actually cleaned. Wow, that's a miracle. Now, those are miracles. But the first definition is really what I want to focus on: an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. If God is intervening in a situation, you can take it to the bank that it's a miracle. We have taken for granted, because we have gotten spoiled as the children of God, how much He actually intervenes in our life. We don't even realize it anymore. I'm getting somewhere. The first miracle I want to talk about is the miracle of creation. The miracle of creation. This means something from nothing. In Genesis chapter 1, when it says God created the heavens and the earth, it literally means something from nothing. God was there and there was nothing else but God. And God spoke, let there be light, and from nothing there was light. Now, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I just believe it different than the scientists believe it. They believe that there was some cosmic explosion, and the universe began to expand, and from a single organism or cell or whatever they say, atom, that all of creation was birthed. But I'm here to tell you, out of the voice of God, when He spoke, He created something out of nothing. These are miracles of creation. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, Jesus is on a boat sleeping during a storm, and His disciples were worried that they were going to die. And they come wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, we're getting ready to drown. We're getting ready to sink. What are we going to do? And Jesus gets up. He wipes the sleep out of His eyes, and He looks at the storm and He says, peace, be still. Out of nothing, there was chaos, and out of nothing, He created peace, a miracle of creation. David understood this type of miracle. David prayed in Psalms 51 after he murdered a man and took his wife and committed adultery. The prophet Nathan confronts him and says, you are the man in my story. And I don't have time to get into it all, but the prophet called David out. And as David began to see the error or the sin that he did, he said, you know what? I am the man. And he said, I repent of this. And Psalms 51, this is David's psalm of repentance in that hour of his life, in that failure of his life. And so as he's praying this, and I encourage you, if you don't know it, you need to go read Psalms 51. It's just so humbling, such a powerful prayer. But in the middle of his prayer on verse 10, he begins to say, God, create in me. Create in me. David understood the creative power and the awesomeness of God. And so he said, God, my heart is wicked. My heart deceived me. My heart made me do these things. But God, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm not asking you to mend the scars. I'm not asking you to do that. Create a new heart in me. Create something new inside of me. You can pray big prayers today, and you can expect big miracles, miracles of creation. If there is something that you are lacking in your life, you can pray a prayer, and I believe we're going to see miracles of creation today, where God will birth something from nothing. The second miracle, again, miracle just means that there is divine intervention. Divine intervention. The second miracle I want to talk to us about today is the miracle of God speaking. Well, that's something we take for granted. In Numbers chapter 22, and I don't have time to read all this, but I just want to just explain what's happening in Numbers. You can read it, chapter 22. There was a prophet that was not doing what he was supposed to, and he was going somewhere he shouldn't have been going. And God used a donkey, opened up the donkey's mouth, and spoke to the man of God. God can use donkeys to speak his word. In Exodus, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. So not only can he use an animal to accomplish his will, but he can use nature to accomplish his will and actually speak to you. In the New Testament, Jesus said, if I tell the people to be quiet, as he was riding in Jerusalem on a donkey, and they were waving their palm branches saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they told Jesus, you need to tell them to stop. Jesus said, if they stop, then the rocks would cry out. I'm telling you, there's miracles in God speaking in your life. And so many times we miss God speaking because we don't look for him to speak to us in those manners. Would you ever expect God to speak to you through a rock? An inanimate object, something that has, it's just hard and heavy. Would you expect him to speak to you through an animal or a burning bush? First, in 1 Samuel, in just the first couple chapters of Samuel, we see Hannah wanting a child. She has the child, names him Samuel, and dedicates him to God for the rest of his life. And she gives him to the prophet or the priest Eli to dedicate him as a priest. And so Samuel became a priest in training as a young child. But as he was, if you read it, it says that God, his voice wasn't being spoken at that time. Nobody was hearing from God, not even the prophet, not even the priest. But it says that Samuel, as he was laying down at night, heard a voice, Samuel, in the middle of the night. And he goes to Eli, his mentor, and he says, did you need me? I'm telling you, even you children in here today, God can use you to speak to the man of God. And you can receive something from God. Even the children. I'm here today to tell you, we might not have Sunday school. That's okay, because God wants to do something in our children today. Parents, you need to have expectation that when the word of God goes forth, God can do a miracle of speaking to your children. Miracles of God speaking. I'm going to move on very quickly. The third miracle I want to talk about is a miracle of provision. in 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah was given a word from God that said there's going to be drought, but I want you to go to this brook and I want you to wait there because I'm going to send ravens to come feed you. God used birds to come bring food, made food. I could imagine maybe some grapes, you know, because the birds can just pick that off. Or some berries, and they can pick that up with their beak. But I believe it wasn't just berries. I believe that he brought them meat. The birds brought him meat, cooked meat, and cooked food. I believe that because God made provision for the prophet. Also in 1 Kings in 17, once the brook dried up, and the prophet said, Lord, you brought me here. Now the water's dried up. You said you were going to provide for me. And he says, well, I want you now to go to this widow, and she's going to provide for you. So he gets to the widow, and he asks the widow, hey, you need to make me something. Well, she says, I don't have anything. Talk about increasing my faith to follow him. God, you led me to someone who you said would provide for me that has nothing. This is the way that God works. They're miracles of provision. God will intervene in moments without you even having any understanding of how it's possible. In Exodus, manna and quail were given to Israel in the wilderness. Manna just means, what is it? They didn't even know what it was. It's heavenly bread. God turned water into wine at a wedding. Even in the wilderness, there was a rock that provided water. And in Matthew 17, 24, Jesus, his disciples went to him and said, hey, we have to pay temple tax. How are we going to pay this? Jesus said, well, go catch a fish and then open that fish's mouth and there's going to be money in it. Okay, Lord. Miracles of provision. I'm telling you, we need to have great expectation for what God has for us today. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, this is the story where Jesus is teaching, and there's 5,000 people that need food because they're tired. The disciples said, hey, we need to end this and send them away so they can eat. Well, Jesus said, don't send them away. Just give them find something and spread it between everybody. They found just a few loaves and some fish. Miracles of provision to give. God will give us miracles of provision so we can give. See, this was not just a miracle of providing for the disciples or just a miracle of providing for Jesus' inner circle, but it was a provision where when God multiplied it, it was there to give. Yes, sir. Miracles of provision. There's two more miracles I want to talk about. If my wife will come, I'm almost done. But miracles of healing are very real, and they're for us today. I know that we've seen some people healed. How many's ever seen someone dead raised? No one? One? How many seen cancer healed? One, two, couple, three, four. How many seen diabetes healed? Couple. How many has seen an STD healed? God can heal anything. I've seen him heal hepatitis. I've seen him heal AIDS. I've seen him open blind eyes. I've seen him give financial miracles. Last time I was here, I told of a testimony in Cleveland. I was just telling him, you need to prophesy to your future and prophesy to your life. And so this couple, they begin to prophesy and they worshiped God. And they got home before church. They said they looked online to pay their bills and they could not afford to pay their bills. They got home that night after I had preached and they had prophesied to their future. And they begin to look at their bills and they said the online bills were cut in half. Miracles of provision, miracles of healing. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. This is a miracle you need to believe for. The people of Israel sinned in the wilderness against God. And they begin to cry out to Moses, Moses, talk to God for us. Serpents were sent into the Israelites and begin to bite them and begin to kill them because of their sin. But what is a miracle? It's when there's divine intervention. And so God intervened in this serpent attack. And Moses said, now go make a serpent and stick it up there, a brazen serpent. And he says, if you look at it when you're bit, you will live. He didn't say you won't get bit. He said, but when you do, you will live. This is a miracle from the effects of sin. The miracles from the effects of sin. Jesus even told someone in the New Testament, he said, your sins are forgiven. Now take up your bed. Why did Jesus have to forgive his sins for him to be able to be healed? There are some healings that take place because sin caused it. God can heal those. Why am I saying this? I'm saying it because sometimes as people, it's our human nature because we don't work this way as humans. We see judgment, we see shame, we see condemnation. That's what we see as humans. But God doesn't work that way. When you repent and you say, God, I'm sorry I did these things, God wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. And so there are effects of sin. There are real effects from sin. If you live a promiscuous lifestyle, you might get an STD. But God can heal those too. You might do drugs and get some disease, virus, infection. God can heal that too. You might have been a product of sin. You might have been abandoned or hurt. Maybe someone physically abused you, mentally abused you, sexually abused you, and the effects of sin in your life have destroyed you. God wants to heal you. Miracles of healing from the effects of sin. In 2 Kings 5, there's a story of a man named Naaman. He was the general of the Syrian army. But he had gotten leprosy. And he said, I need healing from this. And he knew of a a man that served the Almighty God. He didn't serve him, but he knew a man that did. And he sent his servant to go get him. And God had mercy on Naaman and was healed. This is a miracle of healing to the ungodly. We need to open our faith. We need to open our minds, because God will even heal the ungodly. You might look at them and say, they'll never live for God. They'll never change their lifestyle. That's okay. God wants to heal them too. You need to have great faith for those that are not here today, that God will heal them. He wants to heal them. Luke chapter 17, the lepers were healed. Miracles of wholeness. God can make you whole again. The woman with the issue of blood in Matthew chapter 9. Miracle of a long sickness. How many's dealt with the sickness for years and years? I had an eye twitch for 7 years. I don't know why it came. I don't know why it left. I just know that God touched me. If you have been sick for many years, don't be discouraged. Keep praying your prayers. Because this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. God healed her. God can heal you. It might have been 20 years. You might have been dealing with it since you were born. That's okay. God can still heal you. Will you have faith for it? If we could stand. The last miracle I want to talk about. There's so many more. I wish I had more time to just talk about all of them. But the last miracle I want to talk about is the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. In Genesis, we see how man, and we're getting close to that time again, where man became so evil that God, when he looked at his creation, he could not see the purpose of it anymore. And he said, I must destroy this evil. I must destroy this sin. And so he seen a man that loved him. And he said, I want you to build an ark. And I'm going to save whatever is inside of it. I'm going to save animals, and I'm going to save humans. Whatever is inside the ark, I will save. The problem was, is nobody believed that there was a miracle of salvation available to them. Whether that was because they had never heard of what rain was or what a flood was. Maybe they never heard of it. Maybe you were never aware that you were living in sin. If you've talked to someone who's came to God later in life and you just ask them, I was raised in church and I was taught from just a child. That's special revelation. I was raised with special revelation. But people who come to God later in life and they've lived a life, just they've lived a good life. That's what they think. But it's full of sin. And they have no clue that it's sin. That's just how they lived. No problem. So whether they were ignorant of that, they did not believe that there was need for salvation. But God intervened in that situation. In a sinful situation, God still made a way for salvation. And I'm saying that because you might feel right now condemned. You might feel like there's no hope. You might feel like there's just no way. You might have been cooped up for the last 2.5 months in torment from depression and anxiety and fears because you haven't been able to come to an altar. God has made a way of salvation for you today. In John chapter 3, verse 1, I'm going to kind of explain what the Holy Ghost is. I know most of you might know this, but if there's a young person that doesn't, then I've accomplished something today. All the kids, where's all the kids here? Would you raise your hands if you're under 15? I'm sorry if you're 14 and 13. Maybe 12, because that's youth is 12 and up. So if you're under 12, just wave your hand at me. Some of you are shy. This is for you too. The Holy Ghost is for you too. Jesus has been reaching for you. I remember at 8 and 9 years old, speaking in other tongues, waking up from a nightmare, speaking in tongues. I was having spiritual, I didn't know at the time, but I was dealing with spiritual warfare. God will use you. He wants to use us. He wants to speak to us. So in John chapter 3, what is the Holy Ghost? Jesus was asked by a man. He said, how do I get to heaven? How many wants to go to heaven? Some of you kids, you guys want to go to heaven? No? I want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, what does that mean, Jesus? You must be born of water and of spirit. Well, what it means to be born of water means that you get baptized in Jesus' name. That Pastor Meadows will take you in some water, whether that's a swimming pool or if we have a baptistry here. He will take you to that and he will put you under the water in Jesus' name and pull you out again and you will be a new creature in him. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you believe that it's for you, then it's time to get baptized. My nephew was 8 years old. He was in the car with his auntie. And he said, we were talking about salvation. He said, Auntie, are you telling me that if I'm not baptized, I'm not going to heaven? She said, well, yeah, that's what Jesus said. That's how you get to heaven. He said, call Uncle up right now. We need to be baptized. If you see it, it's for you and it's today. It's today. It's that important for you. If you want to go to heaven, it's today. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, it's today. To be born of the Spirit means that you receive the Holy Ghost. This means you will speak with other tongues. That's the evidence that you've been filled with the Spirit of God. This happened on the day of Pentecost, which today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. How many ever celebrate an anniversary? Or some of you kids celebrate your birthday. Today, I seen some Holy Ghost certificates in pastor's office as I was praying. And I was thinking about this thought when I seen those. Because they're official. I've never seen official. They're very official. And as I saw them, God gave me some revelation for me, so I appreciate it. He said, that's a birth certificate. And I've heard that before. That's a birth certificate. But here's the thing. You can't get your passport without your birth certificate. And I was thinking, God, I need my birth certificate so I can prove that I am who I say I am, and that I could get my passport to heaven. Let me tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you get a passport and you can go up to heaven. And when you see Jesus, you can say, here's my passport, Jesus. I am who I say I am. My name's Isaiah Solomon, and I got baptized on this day, and I got the Holy Ghost on this day. I've been born again. Here's my birth certificate. How many want a birth certificate today? You know, my mom lost my birth certificate, and we found it just recently. She mailed it to me. Actually, I think my brother had it. But I needed to get my passport several years ago, and I didn't have my original birth certificate. So you know what I had to do? I had to apply for a certified copy. So you know what? You might have lost something along the way as a believer, and you might feel like, hey, I can't prove it right now. I can't look in the mirror and say, hey, here's my birth certificate, Lord. Let me tell you, you can check in today and you can get a certified copy, and you can prove, hey, I'm going to heaven. I've been bought with a price. You can prove it to yourself today. I'm done. I can feel faith in the atmosphere now. So this is what I want us to do. If you need the Holy Ghost for the first time, let's do this. I know we're social distancing. So if you're families, you can stay together. So that'll help us save some space. But if you could, if everybody could just come up as close as you can, with social distancing in mind. That's okay if you go back, but if everybody can just move forward, move as close to the front as you can, families stick together, just everybody come forward. And I know some might have to stand in the first or second pew, but just come as close as you can. There's some space right here. You just have to have faith for it. So if someone needs a healing that's not here, how many stories are there in Scripture where they went to Jesus and said, hey, I need you to come to my house, and Jesus said, okay, go your way, they're healed. He didn't even go to them. So you can pray a prayer today, coming to Jesus, saying, Jesus, they're not here. They're at home sick on their deathbed. Maybe that's spiritual. Maybe that's literal. But they're not here and they're dying spiritually or physically. God, I'm lifting them to you today. I'm asking, would you bring a healing? Would you give a miracle? You can have faith for that today. So this is what I want us to do. We're going to do five things. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Pastor Meadows is going to pray a prayer of repentance for us in just a moment. But after we have repented, and I know we've done this here last time I was here, so some of you already know, but you need to have faith. Faith says it's possible, it's for me. Desire says, I have to have it today. I'm not leaving here without it. So you need to have faith. You need to have desire. You have to have focus. Focus says, I'm focusing on Jesus. Now, Pastor Meadows, I get focused on lunch, and that's That's partly my stomach's fault. But I need to get that out of my mind right now. And I need to focus on Jesus. Some of you might be worried about social distancing right now. Oh, I got to make sure I'm 6 feet apart. I need to make sure. Yeah, I don't want someone to get too close to me. I don't want the spit to get on me. Or, you know, we can think about this stuff. And I don't want you to think I'm making light of it. But you need to get that out of your mind. You need to focus on Jesus right now. All of us, we need to focus on Jesus. Could you guys come up? I know God has, I can feel something for you guys right now. Could you just come right up here? God has something for you. God has something for you. Do not leave here without receiving something. God is giving you a miracle today. I can feel it. And the last thing we're going to do, we're going to worship Him as hard as we can. I'm not going to lay hands on you because of this social distancing thing, and I respect that. But I know God, I don't have to touch you for God to touch you. I don't have to lay hands on you for God to do a miracle. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, and I want us to shout on the count of three. I want us to shout hallelujah as loud as we can. But before we do, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. So let everybody's attention right here. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. And then we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Are you ready? Can we, when it's time, I want you to lift your hands. Don't do it now, but we're going to lift our hands. That's a position of receiving. We're going to receive something from God. How many want to receive a miracle? I want to receive a miracle today. Pastor, would you pray a prayer of repentance for us?
Holy Ghost is on you, Linda, right now in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost is on you right now for purposes. Light shine, heart lifting. Give her new wings in Jesus' name. Precious vessel of God. Lord, we humble ourselves today. We do not come as arrogant, independent children. We come, Lord, leaning into you, knowing we need your power. We need your grace, Lord. We need you desperately today. Forgive us of anything we've said or thought or done that's grieved your heart. We do not come, Lord God, as somebody, Lord, that's untouchable. Lord, we need you desperately. We humble our minds. We humble our thoughts. We say, forgive us, God, if we've grieved you, because you commanded us in your word, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Lord, forgive us if we've grieved you. We humble ourselves. Wash us in your blood. Would you lift your hands up and pray with me? Wash us in your blood, Lord. Wash us in your blood. Forgive us of stupid stuff. Forgive us of faults and failures, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we've just not been up to par, or we've not been in fighting fitness, Lord. Forgive us, Jesus, if we've allowed compromises, Lord. If we've allowed, Lord, our passion to be watered down. If we've allowed our fire to be stolen by the enemy. Lord, God, light our candle again. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God, light our candle again. Baptize us in fire, Lord. Wash us in the blood. Wash us, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You are washing us in the word. You are washing us in the blood. Thank you, Jesus. We humble ourselves. We throw arrogance away. We throw pride away. We throw independence away. We are dependent on you. Can't do this, can't live this life without your power. Can't live this holiness, this purity without your power. Fill us again. Lift your hands with me. Come on. This is powerful. This is real. Hallelujah. Wherever the blood is, the Spirit will come. I plead the blood of Jesus over us. Hallelujah. Wherever the blood is, the Spirit will come. I plead the blood of Jesus over us. Thank you for forgiveness. Let's thank Him for His mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. If I could get your attention one more time. I can feel God's already, He's right here with us right now. He's not done yet. You ready for your miracle? There's a miracle coming. You ready for your miracle? Who's ready for their miracle? All right, if you're ready for your miracle, lift your hands. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. On the count of three, you're going to shout hallelujah as loud as you can. And I just want you to worship God as radical, as big as you can worship God, because He's worthy of all the worship. If you don't know what to say, just shout hallelujah as loud as you can. Are you ready? All right, let's pray. Father, by the authority of the Word of God, in the power of the name of Jesus, I loose faith in the atmosphere now for miracles, for healing, for restoration, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, let it be done. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Come on, worship Him now. Don't hold anything back. Your miracle is on its way. Your miracle is here. Press, press for it. Pray, worship Him for what He's doing in your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to those that need a job right now. In the name of Jesus. I pray a miracle of provision. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that are in financial turmoil because of the circumstances of our country. In the name of Jesus, let there be provision. In Jesus' name. Father, I speak to the emotions of our saints, for those that are in depression, for those that have anxiety, for those that are dealing with fear in this moment of crisis, in this pandemic, in the name of Jesus, receive power, receive restoration, receive strength, receive hope, in Jesus' name. Father, I speak for those that have pain in their body right now. I speak to the back pain, be gone. I speak to the shoulder pain, be gone. I speak to the joint pain, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to the person right now that has insomnia, that lays awake at night, tossing and turning, because all they can have are the fears. All they're doing is replaying all the what ifs. In the name of Jesus, I speak to their rest now. Let them have rest. Come on, if that's you, you need to say, I received that miracle. God is going to intervene in your sleep. God is going to intervene in your finances. God is going to intervene in your health. Do you believe it? Then worship Him like He's already done it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray right now, if you need a restoration in your ministry and you felt that your ministry has been squashed, I'm here to declare right now, I could feel it in the presence where you feel like maybe your ministry's died. Maybe it's your fault from something you've done. on. Maybe it's just like you felt that someone's holding you back. I'm here to declare right now, God's about to loose you into a new ministry. He's about to open up a new door for you to begin to minister like you've never ministered before. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be done. Come on, receive that. Receive it. Receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive my miracle. I receive my healing. I receive my restoration. I receive miracles. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
Lift off depression in Jesus' name. Tell it to go. Speak to it. I rebuke depression. I rebuke the blues. I rebuke hopelessness. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I rebuke condemnation. Come on, let's tell it to go. I rebuke condemnation. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty.